from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, good evening, one and all. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in tonight again for Pastor Ernie Sanders. And he is back home. He is resting comfortably. He's having some heart and lung issues. They're still doing testing, working on him, but he's home resting. And actually, he told me he expects to be in the pulpit on Sunday. So again, we would ask, condolences or cards, but please try not to call or disturb. We're trying to get him some rest, and so many people that love and care about him. He's being besieged with visitors and calls, so let him please have some peace and quiet to rest. Tonight with me on the board, our man Seth there, who's going to spin the dials, who's going to keep us, and when I say us, I'll introduce your Friday night special, John McTernan. And John, welcome. Thank you for being here tonight.
Friday night special. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you're the Friday night man, right?
God bless you.
Why don't you just introduce yourself in the name of Jesus. You know, your ministry for a second? Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up.
I'm breaking up. Okay, Seth, what's going on? Can you hear me now? Apparently we're having trouble. Seth and I were talking just fine. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Would you go ahead and just kind of introduce yourself to some of the listeners that might not know who is always on Friday nights?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, longtime friend of Pastor Ernie. And I've been on the show here for, I don't know, years and years and years. And I have a ministry called USAProphecy.com and Abba Fathers International Fellowship. We're doing have a great ministry in Pakistan and East Africa, Nigeria. The Lord's really blessing many, many, many souls coming to Christ.
So you are out there, well, he said go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel? So
yes,
you're doing the Great Commission, right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, you're being obedient. So tonight,
right now I reside in Texas.
A request. We need to start off in prayer. He's got a couple of gentlemen that he was in the hospital with, and their names are Albert and Ken. They're both in pretty bad shape and poor health. I don't have any details, but I don't need them because the Lord has them all. And then, John, we're going to talk about what's been happening with the flood, and after we talk about the flood, then you can pray for the flood victims, would you? So I'll start with Albert and Ken. Dear Heavenly Father, while Pastor Ernie was in the hospital, of course he was talking about you and preaching, and these two gentlemen asked that they be put on the prayer list, that we would pray for them. So, of course, gladly, Lord, we lift these gentlemen up to you. You know who they are. You know what is wrong with them, what ails them. And we would just ask that if it be thy will, you would pour out your healing power upon them, that you would grant them mercy and comfort, that you would guide and direct the doctors that are in charge, that they would get the right diagnosis, the right treatment, and just bless them in every way you see fit, Father. And we just put them in your hands. So we ask if it be thy will, in Jesus' name, amen. So I guess the big story tonight is this major disaster, John. It's torn up a good part of the country, and you've got some of the latest details, right?
Yeah. Right now, there are 40, like officially 40 people that have died as a result of the storm. However, there's supposed to be a lot of houses that have collapsed with people trapped in them. So there's a frantic work on there to free these people. So, but the death toll might go higher. There's 4 million homes without electricity there in Florida and Georgia, and then going up into South and North Carolina, and tremendous rains in Tennessee. There's a hospital in Tennessee that they had about, I think about 25 people trapped up on the roof. That's how high the floods water was. And they were evacuating them by helicopter. So it seemed to be a very slow storm as it approached Florida. But once it hit Florida, it seemed to have accelerated pretty fast. And I guess it's going to head up into Virginia and maybe even to up into New England. But the damage is catastrophic, and 40 dead now, 4 million homes without power, and a lot of rescuing going on, people trapped in their homes.
Right. I saw some pictures, and there were a little island there where it just said everything in the island was destroyed. One of the headlines was there's one area they talked about is the flooding was so bad that it will be uninhabitable for weeks or months. What folks need to understand, this was, I think they said, one of the largest storms that we've had in 100 years. Now, largest doesn't mean intensity. Cat 5 is the strongest hurricane. This was a Cat 4. But what it made it so horribly dangerous and destructive is its massive size that brought all this tremendous moisture, rain, and flooding. It wasn't so much always totally the damage of the wind, which there was a lot of, but a huge record storm surge. Somebody said some places 15 feet or higher, and in low lands, you know, that created just horrible damage. Threw boats clear up and land into people's homes. So, John, would you lead us in the nation, and I'd ask all the people that are listening to please pray with us, because there are people that are putting these, that rescue was talking about, the hospital. They had tried to get them out, but their vehicles were flooded. Then they sent boats, but the river was so, the water turned to such a raging river at the hospital that some of the boats couldn't get back, and the people were trapped in boats for a while. And even when they sent the helicopters, John, I guess at first the winds were so bad they couldn't get in. So we've got many people out there risking their lives to rescue people, so their lives are in danger. Many people are still missing, trapped. We don't know. So, John, would you just lead everyone in prayer?
Yes. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, these things do happen, Lord. Storms like this and other things happen. Lord, it's part of actually sin coming into the world, Lord, is what has done this. So, Lord, we're asking for mercy now. We're asking that you would lead people, rescuers, to anyone trapped in their homes so they could be freed. We're asking for, I think those people are still on the roof in that hospital there in Tennessee, for mercy on them. And, Lord, we're asking that some people have lost, I guess, everything, Lord, that you would comfort them, and that this may lead a lot of people to you for salvation. And, Lord, one other thing, there's warnings gone out for any of these electric cars, because if the salt water gets into those batteries, it can cause, like, an explosion. And houses could burn down if the fire starts in the house, and all people could die from it. So I pray that anyone with a those battery vehicle now would be very cautious with it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Oh, amen to that. And also, just to remind the listeners, a lot of the damage comes after cleanup. People get hurt. Some of the trees that didn't go over, the first good wind will bring down other trees. When the power comes on, there'll be down power lines and, you know, problems with electricity sparking places it shouldn't. So there's going to be several days of, I guess what you call danger still ahead for these people. So keep them in prayer, folks. Tomorrow when you get up, pray again and just be thanking the Lord that it wasn't any worse than it was. So we've got that. Now, I need to tell everyone, we have been this week, the topic of the message was the Antichrist according to Scripture. Now, Coach and I last night kind of diverted. We had a special program we did. So tonight, John, we're going to start in 1 John 2, 18 through 27. And I'm still not having the best communication. How do I sound to you, Seth? I wonder if he can hear. John, do you still read me well?
I'm having a little trouble with you breaking up.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Seth. I'm breaking up. I'm getting static back. Okay, but I'm having feedback, and John said he's having trouble hearing me. So if you could check it, please. Okay, John, let's start in 1 John 2, and let's read 18 through... let's go to 23 and stop.
You want me to read?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son as the Father also.
Also, yeah, one big key here, but ye have an unction with the Holy One, ye know all things. Now, it doesn't mean we know everything, but we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a guide, we have a comforter, but we have a guide who helps us to what? See the truth and to see the evil out there. And it's the Holy Spirit that when you preach and teach, you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you, don't you, John?
Yeah, that's what the unction is. It's a special, like, endowment from the Holy Spirit. To have understanding and to be able to teach.
Right. So when we read Scripture, he helps open up not only our eyes and ears, but hearts and minds to receive that word. So we know that the world today is full of Antichrist. We know that that's continuing until the very end, the real one comes. Okay. So let's see where we go. Can you want to continue through... 27?
Okay. Hang on here for a second, please.
24 through 20...
24, right.
Through 27.
Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised to us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, it is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him.
This is the way that John is explaining that indwelling of the Holy Spirit to us, that anointing we receive there. Basically, it's when we are born again, that's our anointing. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That's our anointing. And as it says, that you receiveth of him, verse 27, receiveth of him abideth in you. And that's why we have a relationship, not a religion. Born-again Christians have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God himself, through that indwelling of his Holy Spirit that we received on Jesus' command. And that Spirit is our guide and the one that makes that connection. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you. He dwells in us. And so he is abiding in us. We become our own temple. We become our own high priest, so to speak. And we have God himself, and that's what makes us special, isn't it, John?
Absolutely. This is a very unique relationship that we have with the living God, that he wants to impart part of himself in us through Jesus Christ.
That way we become, we say we are now the sons and daughters of God, right? We are the spiritual sons and daughters. So we'll finish. Yeah. The children 28 and 29. I want to go ahead and read because it's called The Children of God in Righteousness. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. We are born of him. Let's go to Revelation 19 and look at verses 19 and 20. Do you want to read those? Revelation 19, sure. 19 through 21.
All right, Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
There we have the captain of the host of the Lord's army, Christ himself, coming back. And we know in chapter 19, he comes riding on a white horse. When a king in Israel went to war, he rode a white horse. When he went to make peace, he rode on a donkey. So here we see Christ coming, and we see, you know, this picture, and his clothes was a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, the Sword of the Lord, the Word of God, and he's coming to bring and make war. So when he comes, he is going to take down the Antichrist, and he's going to take down the false prophet, and they will be cast. The Antichrist and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And we'll finish up here in chapter 20 with a verse 10. Do you want to read that? Turn the page and you're there.
This is chapter 20, verse 10.
Right.
Okay, I've got it. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Forever and ever. They have caused enough trouble. God has had it with them. And the final resting place for a while, anyway. And they are cast there. And that's one of the things that their fate is sealed. Now, many of the listeners out there haven't made a decision, John. They haven't decided on accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And because God said the wages of sin are death, all who have sinned come short of the glory. We've all sinned. We all come short of the glory. We all deserve death. So we see the fate of all of those that are deceiving the people, lying to the people, telling them you can murder your children, you can have sex, you can commit adultery, you can do anything you want, you can follow after the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. But those who are responsible for misleading the world, Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist, all of those are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And I think that should be a lesson, a serious lesson to those who have not made a decision who they want to follow in this world, right?
Well, in the next realm, where God is, it's very clear. It's black and white. There's no gray area. You either have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and received his the forgiveness of sin through his shed blood for the penalty for our sin, or you have to go and pay the price for sin. And that you were just reading we were just reading the scriptures. The ultimate place for those that have not been forgiven of their sin is called the lake of fire. That's the ultimate place. That's where those that have not been forgiven of their sin through Jesus Christ, they have to pay the penalty themselves then.
Yep, and we see at the end of this chapter, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. That's the throne of judgment. And him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And it goes on to describe all the people having to come. The books were opened. Everybody's life is poured out in front of God. And I'm going to read two verses. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's two choices, heaven or hell. There is no C, D, E, F, G. There is no other choice, right, John?
Yeah, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for our sin. He took the penalty,
and
so if he's rejected, then whoever rejects him has to pay the penalty themselves.
Exactly. So he gives everyone a chance, doesn't he?
Yes.
Everybody hears and knows, and that's what free will is, the ability of each one of us to make that decision for ourselves. And I know the decision you made, and I know your wish should be the same as mine, that everybody listening to us would decide to make the right decision and choose to make Jesus Lord of their life, right?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. We're coming up to a break, and we've got some special music. And Seth, I don't know how close I am, but when you're ready, take it away.
Big John, Big John. He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder, Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame, but John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood, when John preached repentance, he sure did it good, Baptist John.
Big John.
Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Hey, that was Pastor Ernie Sanders. I think he did that better than the man himself. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in tonight again for Pastor Ernie. He'd been in the hospital with some heart and lung problems. He's home resting comfortably. And he's telling me he hopes to be back in the pulpit Sunday. So just keep him in your prayers. And tonight I've got Big John Maternan with me, or he's always on. I guess I'm on with him. And we ask you to be patient with us. It's hard to do a remote show. There's some technical problems. And so we're going to do the best we can. And thank you for listening and being patient. And tonight, I think we're going to start, I think, the number one story of the day is the story about the tens of thousands of illegal immigrants that has come out. I saw it on Fox News. What do you have there, John?
You're absolutely right. It's shocking. The headline, if you look at the headline, it talks about like 400,000 criminals have been released into the United States. But I think it's more than that, much more, because how many have come in and haven't been detained?
You know, yeah, you're stopped. Talking about the 1.5 million gotaways. How many of those gotaways were criminals, right? Or terrorists?
Yes.
Or soldiers?
Yeah, yeah. So, but there is a very detailed breakdown of these 400,000 criminals. And I think we should break it down so our listeners can hear this and then talk about the ramifications of this. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me.
All right. We spoke earlier, and you had the breakdown.
The breakdown is there were 62,231 convicted of assault, 14,301 convicted of burglary, 56,533 with drug convictions, and here's the bad one, 13,099 convicted of homicides. That's, there are over 13,000 murderers. And additionally, there were 2,521 have kidnapping convictions, and 15,811 have sexual assault victims. But, John, there's one more problem. There's an additional group that are pending. So there's 1,845 more pending homicide charges, another 42,915 pending assault charges, another 3,266 burglary charges, and then there's some other minor crimes, you know, of theft and whatnot, things. So here we have, this is huge, 662,556 non-citizens with criminal histories on ICE's national docket. That is just out, 662,566 criminals allowed into our country. Thank you, Biden and Harris. They are probably someone on in the city that you live, right, John?
Oh, yes, they spread out all through America. President Trump was very accurate. It wasn't like he was making things up when he said these countries like Venezuela opened their prisons up and sent their criminals here. He was
absolutely their crime rates were way down in their countries.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I was just thinking that he also mentioned how the crime rates in those countries really just dropped drastically, right?
Right. So during his speeches, when he talks about them opening up their prisons and sending the criminals here, he's absolutely 100% right. What do we think the limit could be on the ones that weren't caught? You know what I mean? 800,000, a million of them are criminals that have come into the United States now?
Yeah, because they were the ones that were sneakier and took more risk. Hey, before we go any further, I forgot I was supposed to do one thing. I have an announcement for all of the members of the Doers of the Word Church out there. There is a special change for Sunday service at 4 p.m., there's going to be a special documentary called This Is Treason by J.J. Carroll. 4 p.m., a documentary. It's in two parts, so they're going to decide how they do that when you get there. But everybody is invited, and that will be held there at the Doers of the Word Church at 14781 Sperry Road, there in Newberry, Ohio. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. And so 4 p.m., that special documentary, and called This Is Treason. And I guess everyone was invited, bring your friends, neighbors, and go see this. This is a special presentation. So I've got that out of the way. Now let's get back to this mess that has been caused.
While you were reading that, I was thinking, we have that number, all right? A staggering number. How about adding to that all the children that came over and then just disappeared?
Yeah, I can't even remember what that amount was.
It's 300,000. It's like 300,000 children.
That's the one. That's what they lost. There were more children than that. Those are just the ones they lost.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm not even sure what that. There must be closer to what, 500, 600 children? that have come in?
It's 300,000.
Okay, I thought that was just the missing lost children. Well, who knows? They've lost track of so many children. There's so many facts and figures out there that it gets confusing. But I do know one thing. This kind of thing could not just happen by poor planning. It has to be by design, right? I mean, you couldn't mess something up this badly for this many years. The only reason it could be this bad is because somebody in charge wanted to let it happen, right?
Yeah, it's Obama and Biden and that whole, well, I call them a cartel now, that whole cartel in Washington. It's by design. But why is it by design? That's the big issue. And I think it's by design because it's one of the ways of destroying the nation. You destroy the economy. You destroy the debt that it puts us in to try and fund everything involving them. It brings a lot of crime with it. It breaks down the cohesiveness of our nation. And so, yeah, this is by design. This is not incompetence. And brother, there's one thing that makes it really, you can see it's really by design. This whole thing in Springfield, Springfield, Ohio. The Haitians that have come in. How did, if they're coming in through the border like that, they're not supposedly organized, but they end up in the same city, Springfield.
20,000, yeah, in one place at one time, right?
Yeah, right. And then there was another place in Pennsylvania. It was an odd-sounding town. I can't pronounce it. But the same thing happened with Haitians in that town. And the schools are breaking down over it. The police used to have a few arrests. Now it's all day long they're making arrests. And people are afraid to go out of their houses. See, this is by design. How do 15,000 Haitians end up in the same town in Ohio at the same time?
I don't believe in coincidences. I do know, do you remember years ago on the radio, I know Ernie and I did, we talked about the Cloward-Piven strategy. And these were two radical professors. And their strategy was you overload, don't try and kind of condense it, but basically it was you overload the system economically, you overfill the prisons, people on welfare, you get in debt, things collapse. And as the nation collapses, it needs a strong man to step in, socialist,
exactly right,
communist state, to take in, say, we'll fix the problem, we'll bring order, we'll stop the crime, we'll make sure you have enough food to eat. And this brings in the rest of the revolution. Remember Barack Obama, famous saying he was going to bring about the total transformation. Got that word? Total transformation of America. And, John, I tried to imagine what else could it be other than changing our constitutional democracy into a socialist state? What other transformation would there be?
Right, exactly. And it's playing out right in front of our eyes. We have to be able to discern this. This is not random. Involved in this, and it just the thought just put out of my mind. That's odd. I'm going to have to pass on that one because it slipped out of my mind.
Yeah, every once in a while that does happen. But I'm thinking this all of a sudden now, you know, the Biden administration has talked about there's been a sharp drop in illegals coming across the border. But at the same time, we've been reporting about they're filling out paperwork, getting approved in a foreign country, and then through taxpayer dollars, they're doing what? They're putting them on airplanes and taking them to a city near you, right, John?
Exactly right. They have staging grounds like down in Panama. and they process them in Panama. Then they fill the plane up, and this is what they've been doing. I just found this out today. Well, not all the planes, but some of the planes land in San Diego, and then they direct them to Texas.
Oh.
Because they're going around the Texas is closed off. Well, it's pretty well closed off the border, a lot of the border there. So now to get around Texas doing that, they first go to California, and then they fly them from California to Texas.
Uh-huh. And they're also flying them to other big major cities across the nation, right? And they don't tell us how many they're dropping off, do they?
Yeah, they do it without the state's permission.
That's not constitutional, I don't believe. They're dropping them off. They're not telling them where they're dropping them, how many they're dropping. And we have just their word of how many are coming in, right? So whatever is lacking crossing the borders from what used to be, they're making up by flying them in the middle of the night somewhere. You know, any government that has to operate in secret tells me they're doing something terribly wrong if it has to be done in secret, right?
Yeah, this is pure evil because that's illegal what they're doing. You can't do that. They have to come in a port of entry that is approved by Congress. This is not up to the president. The president doesn't make laws like that. He follows what Congress authorizes. He's supposed to fulfill the laws that Congress institutes. So they're doing an end run around it. But I just found out not long ago that Texas has bused, I think, 200,000 illegal aliens to New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and other cities. 200,000 from Texas.
Wow. Well, they had to do something with them in Texas. I mean, there for a while they had what? Some days they had 10,000, 12,000 a day coming across the border? Even a state as big as Texas can't hold that many people coming in a day, right?
Exactly.
And plus, a lot of their cities aren't run by Democrats. They're not sanctuary cities. They weren't wanted. You know, Mark Green, who's the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, he talks about it may be shocking to hear that the Biden administration is actively releasing tens of thousands of criminal illegal aliens into our communities, but their own numbers conclusively prove to be this case. You know, and you talked, the word he uses is madness. He said it is something no civilized, well-functioning society should tolerate, and I don't think the word should is right. It's can tolerate. We cannot tolerate on our system this kind of overload, can we?
No, that's why they're designed to, their plan is to overwhelm us with millions and millions and millions of illegal aliens and break down our entire infrastructure along with it.
That's one. And second, it destroys our culture, right? They're not assimilating. When they come over in a controlled manner, they go through the citizenship classes. They assimilate into our culture. They understand our Constitution. These people coming in are bringing everything with them from their own countries. They're not assimilating. You notice how they're consolidating into groups, right? Like the Haitians that were all in one big area, 20,000 in that one little town of 60 or 80,000 there in Ohio. They're consolidating like the Muslims have up in Michigan, taking over portions of cities. And the net effect of that is it changes the political views, doesn't it? If you change the culture, you're changing the politics, right?
It changes. Yeah, everything changes. And, you know, another thing, brother, with them, is look what they did with us with the COVID-19 and the shots, right?
Right.
You know, and that they're coming in, no problem. No problem.
No medical records. We don't know if they have any infectious diseases. Do they have polio? Are they bringing in, you know,
tuberculosis?
A multitude of things all of a sudden. Polio, multiple sclerosis. And we're overwhelming our medical facility. Our hospitals right now are overloaded. Pastor Ernie had to wait, man, how many hours it was. I think he was there in 3 in the afternoon, and sometime way after midnight he finally got a room. And they wanted him in the hospital right away. He had to wait a long time. And I hear some people are waiting days to get a room in a hospital. And I'm hearing it's getting worse every day. And also,
exactly. So from many angles,
Go ahead.
The illegal aliens are really destroying the foundation of the nation.
Well, you mess up the healthcare healthcare system. It hurts what the natural citizens, those of us. They've taken money from the VA. And the community care and used it to help take care of bills for the illegal aliens. They were put up in, 4- and 5-star hotels, and we've got veterans out on the street that are homeless. And, Kamala Harris has had 4 years to, help protect America. She's allowed all these. She didn't say a word, didn't criticize Biden, didn't stand up and say anything. All these tens of thousands of murders and the rapists. So she put all these people first ahead of you, your family, your security, your livelihoods. And I think it was also that the Democratic Party could complete the revolution from a constitutional republic to a socialist democracy. And all these 20 million illegals that are in the country and their offspring, they're hoping the liberals are hoping they will vote Democrat and, for the thanks for letting them in illegally, giving them all the benefits and the money. And, of course, what they're doing, I think, is buying votes so they will be able from now on to control all the future elections. That's what I think is going on. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think definitely. In addition to that, they're destroying the middle class in America. And one of the things that's made America unique is our middle class, where you could move, you could come in, be very poor, and through hard work and education, you could advance way up into the middle class. But you can't do that in Mexico. You can't
do
that
in
these countries. So what they have is 90% poor, and probably middle class, and then the rest are rich, but they have very little middle class. So if they're poor, the government owns you. If you're poor and you don't have freedom like the middle class does here, you're dependent upon the government, and that's what they want. They want all of these people completely dependent upon the government. And then in America, unemployment, they want you dependent upon the government, and food stamps and all, they want you dependent upon the government. And the list goes on and on and on.
Obamacare. Obamacare, name it, right? And just think, our middle class is huge. It's over 50% of the nation is considered middle class. Instead of, you said, the rest of the world, maybe 4 or 5% are middle class. This is a unique country. There has never been one like it. And if we lose this constitutional republic, I don't think the world will ever see another one. Do you?
No. What we'll see is Christ coming, and then everybody's the middle class.
Yeah, that was a unique way to answer my question. One more story I want to bring in here before the break real quick, and then we'll start another topic. We were telling people that Biden was bragging about the crime rates are down all over, I was telling all the listeners, no, there were a lot of cities didn't report, and they had bad statistics, and people thought, well, maybe. A new report out, Fox News, Michael Dorgan, FBI's flawed crime data highlighted by Chicago's 118 missing murders. A expert, Sean Kennedy, says the FBI figures are not accurate because, one, law enforcement agencies are submitting data differently on different forms, different ways, and many of these cities have liberal DAs who are not charging people, and all of a sudden they're not being charged for the same crimes. They're being charged for a lesser crime, which makes it look like crime is going down. So we've got about three things, but this story talks about how they were claiming, you know, everything is going down, but the truth is it's been increasing. Instead of the 23 FBI report said rapes were decreased by 9%. And, you know, but now we're finding out that all these different systems, there's two, it's very complicated, there's two different systems are trying to transfer from one to another. And many of the agencies were supposed to report on the new system, but didn't know how to use it, didn't know how to work it, so they didn't report at all. So we have maybe 10, 20 major cities in the country didn't report any of their major serious crimes like murders and rapes. Gee, no wonder the crime rate's down, huh, John?
Yeah, it's all made up. The statistics, how many times have we heard, oh, the gross national product improved this amount this quarter. You know, sounds real good. And so mm-hmm. many jobs were met. Then you'll see, like, a month later or so, there was a retraction and the gross national product didn't expand at that level and the job rate was only half. How many times have we heard that?
I don't pay attention to these statistics.
It doesn't mean anything. It's all just made up for them.
It's called
political reasons.
Right. We've been lied to, and they continue to lie to us. And I hope the listeners finally realize you have been lied to by years from the government. The government is trying to grow, become more powerful. The bigger it gets, the less freedom you have, and the more you're in danger of losing all your freedom. And we're getting ready for a short break. We're going to hear another song. We'll be back in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. 4, 3, 2.